Welcome to Real Women of Bastrop, where small town charm meets big time grit. I'm your host, Lindsay Kana, sixth generation Bastropian, realtor, and community cheerleader. Around here, we're more than big hair. We're business owners, mamas, creatives, and quiet powerhouses. And this podcast, well, it's pulling back the curtain on the stories, struggles, and strength of the women who keep this town running. Because every woman has a story, and around here, we believe yours matters. Let's get into it. Let's just dive in, Megan, and tell us a little bit about how you landed in Bastrop initially.
Yeah. So I moved a lot when I was a kid. I wouldn't really say I have a hometown. I graduated from high school outside of Houston, but my family is from East Texas originally. Okay. So my whole family lives in the Dallas area. I came to Austin for college, went to UT, and then I ended up in Bastrop because my husband is from here. So he's lived here his whole life. Okay. And we got married 16 years ago next month. And so that's around this time, 16 years ago, I moved here to Bastrop.
Nice, nice. Okay. And do you tell me about what do you love about Bastrop? Why do you stay here other than him and your family?
Yeah, no, it's totally different than what I grew up in. I grew up, you know, in suburbia outside of large cities, different vibe. Bastrop has changed a lot in the 16 years that I've been here. So I can only imagine for folks who've been here their entire lives how different it is.
Yeah.
But I love the culture of Bastrop. I think people are, especially as I've gotten access to, you know, being at different things, being at events, connecting with people professionally, I've just realized that this is a really close-knit community that really values its history and its roots. And I really have never had that experience before when I was growing up. And so it feels very connected here. And I really enjoy that. When I moved here, my mother-in-law had worked at a variety of places, kind of part-time over the years, the bank and the Christian bookstore. And so when I would go places and they saw my name, they knew you must be related to, you know, Laura Webb. And
yes,
it's kind of changed. It's kind of changed over the years. Now she's my mother, but it just was kind of a very different feel than what I had growing up, where you were pretty anonymous in your suburban little outlet. So it's nice to be here.
Yeah, that's funny. My dad, of course, has been here his whole life in Bastrop. And so I grew up here until about third grade. And then I moved to right outside of Dallas, Corsicana, and then came back. But I would come every summer to visit my dad and every other weekend. Mm-hmm. So he would always introduce me, you know, this is my daughter. And then after I was here after college and started getting out into community and going to events, one time I remember at one event, I introduced him. This is my dad, Johnny Sanders. They didn't know. And he was like, wow, the tables, they have turned. This is happening. I was like, yeah, see, it's okay. It's okay. But yeah, I totally get that. The Bastrop just has a great home feel. When I would come into town and walk around downtown, it's just a different vibe. I don't know. I can't explain it. And where it just feels homey and, you know, you are a tight-knit. We are a tight-knit community. So,
It does. Definitely downtown is a little bit like a Hallmark movie, especially at Christmas and the lights. And I had never been to a place with so many parades.
Yep.
I think that was probably the biggest adjustment for me, is the whole downtown shutting down pretty regularly for a parade. Bastropians love a good parade. That was just that sort of quintessential downtown, hometown feel that you really don't get in a lot of places anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Okay. Well, tell me a little bit so you are involved with the Children's Advocacy Center, CEO, and then so you're working with children. Did you always know you would be involved like with children, with helping children, or?
No, it was sort of, yes and no. I think I am the oldest of six kids, so I have been around children my entire life. My youngest sibling is 11 years younger than I am. And so I was very used to being with children, lots of cousins, very close-knit family, and just kind of always ended up working with kids in some regard through college. I tutored, I worked at a daycare. I actually was an assistant teacher in Del Valle for part of college. And so I just kind of always ended up with kids and actually had no desire to work with kids. I had no desire to have children really at that point. I told the Lord, like, no, I'm good. I don't need to work with kids. And it's funny the deals you make on your own independently and what he has in store. So I needed a job after college and was working at a daycare for about 6 months and just really needed something else and ended up applying to work at CPS in the middle of the night. It was pretty far-fetched for me, even though I had a long history working with children. It seemed like a really hard topic.
Yep.
and not something that I really had any idea what I was getting myself into. I was 21 and 4 months. Oh, wow. And yeah, it ended up being a career and a calling. Wow. And that's kind of how I got into it.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And let's dive into some women topics. So what's one thing that you wish more women talked about?
Oh, wow. So many things. You know, I have 4 of my siblings are sisters. So I grew up with single mom, 4 sisters. My brother, unfortunately for him, is like the sixth sister. So they're really, I was raised with no topic sort of off limits when it comes to talking about your body, talking about your health. They're really, it was, I think I've seen in adulthood the fruits of that kind of environment, because I really have no problem talking about things that for some people are sort of taboo or, you know, not. So as I'm getting to be the age that I am now, you know, and people are kind of starting through that perimenopause and menopause,
yes,
period, it's like this crazy, nobody ever talked to me about that. That is the one thing nobody ever talked to me about. And I'm a little bit younger than most of the people that I am friends with. And so it's kind of this window into the future that's a little bit scary, but I also feel like I'm becoming prepared because I'm watching other people walk through that journey of like just hormonal stuff. I feel like that really ties into, though, in general, as women, we give so much of ourselves. We give away so much of our identity. I think when we have kids or even when we're like in the workplace, and it's just like, if I see with women that we give so much, and then I'm at the age now and my kids are at the age where you're kind of reclaiming that identity and who am I and what does that look like? And this relationship I've been in for my entire adult life, you know, what does that look like and who are we now? And so I just feel like perimenopause is like this extension of that, where now you've got this, like my friend calls it her second puberty, because it's
who am I? What is this body I'm in? This is not me. This is not my body.
It doesn't do what it used to do. The things that I put into it, like, don't yield the same things that they used to. It used to be so easy to make it run.
Yes.
And you know, my skin, I never had to wash it before. I never had to do anything. Yeah. And now I'm just spending my entire life savings on serums and like exfoliants. And I was just talking to my mom about this the other day, actually. I'm like, I'm spending so much more money on creams and potions than I have ever in my life. But yeah, I feel like sometimes we want to seem like we have it all together. And so when I say that I am experiencing the fruits of my childhood in that way, I think it's that I never felt like I had to pretend like I had it all together. I came from a very transparent family, very real, and we're nothing if not real and honest with one another. So I feel like more women should just be honest that they're struggling and allow us to support one another. Because what I have found is that honesty, like I've encountered so many women that are supportive and uplifting and really care about one another and want to be there for one another. We just have to be willing to ask. And I think that's hard for a lot of us.
For sure. And when you're honest, even if it offends someone or they're like, oh, you know, that's not my vibe. Great. You know, they're not for me. And it's kind of that whole mindset. Yeah. I think this stage in life, whenever, and perimenopause, right, can start, we don't know really when it's 35 to 50 is a broad range.
Yeah.
So I think talking more about that is so important. And I even have these, you know, all the memes and stuff that come up on Instagram. I have this one friend and that's all we send are like perimenopause, like bunnies, because it helps. It's just like, oh, someone else is going through this too. It's not just me. And it is really hard when you have a teenage daughter also that's going through, you know,
the first puberty.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay, we're in this together. And she's like, no, we're not. Like, okay. So yeah, it is something that I would love to have a whole like panel, right? A whole group of women and sit down and just be like, hey, this is what's going on and we're not crazy.
I think having a medical professional that specializes in this, they're few and far between, but there are medical professionals who really specialize in that like holistic treatment of your body and really look at everything. And I feel like we struggle for so long just even medically to find somebody who understands or can speak to what we're experiencing.
Yes. Okay, I'm writing that down because I think that would be someone great to have
on
to talk about. Yeah. Okay. So if you could have dinner with one woman, dead or alive, who would it be? You can take a minute if you need to.
That one's hard.
I know.
You know, I think there are women in my life that I didn't get to spend enough time with. Like, real person, you know, I think well, my sister died 10 years ago. And so obviously she's kind of top of the list. My great grandmother, my meemaw, my family in East Texas has a long history of like farming, cotton picking, and just these like really strong women. My grandmother was 6'1", like this like really outspoken, justice of the peace, funeral home director kind of woman. And like doing that in the time period she did it is just amazing. And I feel like I didn't appreciate enough. I got 18 years with her, which is crazy.
That's great.
But yeah, I didn't appreciate enough the time that I had with her when I had it. Mm-hmm. Celebrity wise, I'm going to pan over a little bit. I got Lucille Ball.
She's great. So
I was obsessed with I Love Lucy. I mean, I still am, but for much of my childhood. And so Lucille Ball is somebody I think celebrity wise I would
want. Is it because what?
I think she makes me laugh, but also just a pioneer, you know, one of those women who kind of broke boundaries and barriers and seemed, you know, to sort of push forward like her authentic self and didn't shrink back. And I like that about
takes
her.
A lot of courage for sure. Yeah. I love that. Great. Okay. Well, let's do a lightning rapid fire, whatever you want to call it round. So I'm just going to call out some things, kind of this or that, and then some random things. And then just as fast as you can go. Okay. Rapid fire. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Heels or sneakers?
Sneakers.
Early bird or night owl?
Early bird.
Most used emoji?
The crying, laughing face. Classic millennial emoji.
Yep, yep. Favorite season in Texas?
Oh, gosh. Texas winter, which is, I don't know what other season somewhere else. Yeah. But I like when it's a good, like a San Diego normal. So Texas winter. Yeah.
You can't live without.
Probably coffee. I drink a lot of coffee. Yeah.
Big coffee person? Most irrational fear?
I don't even, I'm so afraid of bugs.
Are you? Just like any small bug?
Moving to, I mean, anything that buzzes near me is going to make me freak out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I moving to a more rural area that has more bugs, that was probably one of the biggest issues that I had. I just, my husband laughs at me all the time because of how irrational I am about a fly, you know, because it buzzes and it could murder me. So
that's surprising. I wouldn't have picked that. Mine is roundabouts because I don't know when the heck to get off a roundabout.
Yeah. Fair. Really, yeah. Actually, revolving doors. I was just in DC and every hotel, there's so many revolving doors, and I'm a little bit claustrophobic.
Same.
Probably my, actually, now that we're talking through it, my most irrational fear, because I'm claustrophobic, is getting stuck on like a McDonald's Playscape type of deal. Like the tubes.
Oh, like in the tube?
Watching children go through those, even though they're so small and I know they're not going to get stuck, it, the anxiety that wells up within me. No.
You'd see it. Okay, and then one last one, fill in the blank. Bastrop is
home.
I like it. Okay, all right, well, thank you so much for joining me and for agreeing. You're just, you're an inspiration to me and very well spoken, and I knew I had to have you on, so thank you for agreeing and spending your time.
Of course.
That's it for this episode of Real Women of Bastrop. If today's story moved you, made you laugh, or reminded you of the power of community, share it with a friend and please leave us a quick review. It helps more people find these stories and the women behind them.